You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from Chris Blacker. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Well, good morning, church. Come on, you can do better than that. Morning, church. That's better. So who ate too much at Christmas? I mean, it was only... Who's still feeling the effects of eating too much at Christmas? Hopefully it's done by today. So a few weeks ago, I came in here on a Sunday night to the carol service, and Claudia and I had been away for a restful weekend, and I had a number of people come up to me and said, "You should have been here this morning. Why weren't you here this morning? You got a good speaking to this morning from someone who was speaking the message." And so that was Nick. And you know, you can engage in this sort of stuff, but I know now how Aaron feels. And I got a bit of a picture, and I just thought, well, lucky I wasn't here. But anyway. Thanks for the mention, Falzone. Thanks for the mention. So last week, if you were here on Sunday, great, look back at the year as an organisation. And so this morning I want to reflect a little bit personally, not myself personally, but for everyone personally on the year. But I just, when I was preparing the message, I just wanted to start just with a little bit of prayer ministry time, just in terms of not everyone getting out of their seats or anything, but just reflecting on the year. And when you look back at 2025, how do you see it? Was it a challenging year? Was it a year where you felt that you missed the mark? Was it a fruitful year? Was it a year of purpose? Maybe it was a year of setbacks. Maybe it was a year of loss and hurt. We're all at a different place. Maybe it was a year of growth. And you look back and you think, wow, I've come a long way this year. Maybe it was a year of change. And you know, if it was on the negative side of things, you know, we often look back and see these years as a year of disappointment. But the God that I follow is a God of restoration. And As I was sitting here considering this, he gave me a scripture. And, you know, we all want to look forward to the next year. But I kind of would love to, being the last message of this year, I'd love to put a full stop and a word of encouragement for those who may have had a more difficult year. And I just want to pray. But just let me read this scripture first. Philippians 3:13-14 says this. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it in my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." If you know that, you know, as I've mentioned those things, you feel a heaviness or a bit of a weight, I just want to take a moment to pray that there would be a lift of that weight and you would be able to look forward in the things of God in a real positive sense. And if you need to deal with what's happened this year, then deal with it. I encourage you, but I just like to pray. So let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for the year that's gone, and you know, for some here it would be a year you look back on and go, it was an amazing year. from a positive sense, and for others, they may look back on it and say, this has been a difficult year. But Father, you are a God of restoration. You sent Jesus into this world to bring life and life to the full. And so, Lord, I just pray for each and every person that's in this place that may have a struggle at looking back. Lord, I pray that you would renew them in a powerful way by your Spirit. And so, Lord, give them the strength to move forward, to consider what has been, not being able to change it, but to look forward in the things of you. And so let your power and your presence just rest on them right now. Rest on all of us right now as we consider the year gone and we look forward to the year ahead. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. So Graham mentioned a couple of things last week, and you know, what you've heard from the platform this year, we've been through the book of John, which was fantastic. We looked at, there was a series called Overwhelmed and Underdone, and there are other messages in there through the year. But I actually want to go back to the first message of this year, which was on January 5th. And Andy spoke the message. It was 358 days ago. Does anyone, aside from Andy, remember what the title of that message was? Can anyone yell it out if they know? It's rested really well on all of you, I can see that. Higher goals, who looked it up? So the title was Higher Goals. And to put it into a nutshell, he spoke about where our security lies. And these are some of the things that he said, and I think they were really important things that were highlighted to me. I asked Andy to send me his notes. I listened and picked some of the things out that I felt were really, really powerful things. And one of the questions that he asked was, am I building a life whereby I'm being positioned to not need God? Because he spoke about the Tower of Babel. Am I building a life whereby I'm being positioned to not need God? When you consider this year, do you look back and go, yeah, maybe. Maybe I've got the wealth thing in order and I've got the great job and everything's sorted out. Or some of the other things that he said this in thinking about our goals for change or achievement this coming year, let's first ensure the higher goal is in place. And I love this. This really sat with me as I was re-looking at this, to simply grow closer to Jesus, that we would find our security in what he did on the cross for us, and to fall more deeply and authentically in love with our Lord Jesus Christ. And then this is the thing that triggered what I'm going to share a little bit about over the next few minutes. This was the line that really triggered that. And it was this: am I putting my security in God above all else? Just think about that for a minute. When you think about your life, are you putting your security in God above all else? Is that, when you look at this year, is that what has worked out? Or are you positioning yourself to not need God? Most of the world certainly is, And we can see where that's going. In our 30-minute breakfast this year, we've been working through, which is a life group that I run for 30 minutes at 6:30 on a Wednesday morning for the men, if you, anyone want to join for this year. We've been working through the book of Proverbs. The way we do it is we do, I send the guys the chapter that we're doing, and obviously it's in order 1-2, and then they pick out one verse out of it that stands out to them. And so we're up to about chapter 20 at the moment, I think, and so we're going to continue to work through it. But Proverbs 4 really stood out to me in that, and you'll see the link in a minute to where I spoke about, Andy said, am I putting my security in God above all else? But I just want to read, and it'll be on the screen. So Proverbs 4, 20 to 27. My son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing and health to all their flesh. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful, lying, misleading mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead toward the path of moral courage, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you towards the path of integrity. Consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and all your ways will be steadfast and true. Verse 27, do not turn away to the right nor to the left where evil may lurk. Turn your foot from the path of evil. The title of my message today is Above All Else. And we're going to highlight in on verse 23. I'm going to read it again in a minute, but I just want to pray again over the words that I'm going to speak, and let's see God work in that. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Your word actually says that it will never return to your void. And so, Father, I pray that today is no exception. So let your anointing be upon what I say. Let these words be your words. Grow and change us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we go back to verse 23, it says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now that's the ESV version. The NIV version says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else. That means higher than anything else you can do. Not what God can do, but what you can do is above all else, above everything you do, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. If we have a look at the Bible talks about the heart a lot. We have a look at Jeremiah 17:9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? If we look at Luke 6:45, it says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Proverbs 3, verse 5, probably nearly my favourite scripture in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And finally, Psalm 44:21, for he knows the secrets of the heart. Now, I do believe, don't hold me to the exact number, but in total, the heart is mentioned around 1,000 times in the ESV version of the Bible. And when you see how many times that is mentioned, that means that it means something and that it's important. And so there are, you know, it's around 500 plus times in most of the other versions. So what does the heart mean? What does it actually mean? What's the inner man? The mind, but not just the mind, the will, the heart, the soul, and the understanding. So when the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, it doesn't actually mean the physical heart. It means the emotion, the thinking, the reasoning. It encompasses our personhood, the core of our personality. But it's not our pronouns, because we don't have pronouns. If we read verse 23, it says again, watch over your heart with all diligence, above all else, for from it flow the springs of life. So when it says to guard your heart, what does guarding actually mean? I mean, we've probably all got a good sense of what guarding is. A few years ago now, my youngest son got some chickens. And so they were quite young chickens. And one of the other boys had a party at our place one night. I think he was 13 or 14 or maybe 15. I can't remember exactly when it was. But one of the things that we needed to do every day or every night before the chickens went to bed was to go and shut the pen and lock them away. And we live in the Croydon area, and there are some foxes in Croydon. And so every night we would have to do the same thing. Well, because we were distracted by something else with the party, that night we neglected to lock the chickens away. And he came out the next morning, and I think he was in year 7 or year 8. And the sight that he saw the next morning wasn't nice. They hadn't taken the chickens, they made a mess of them and left them all over the lawn. Now, for a year 7 and 8 kid, that is pretty horrifying to wake up in the morning and see that. And so when you think of guarding, and when your two versions says above all else guard, and one of them says with all diligence, this means that when we guard our heart, it's a constant thing that we've got to be doing every day. We can't drop our guard. We can't allow things to slip. And this is a message for all of us. Don't drop your guard when it comes to your heart. Because the Bible says everything flows from it. So put boundaries around your heart. It's like putting boundaries, you know, if you've got cattle or sheep as a farmer, you've got to put boundaries around so they don't escape and cause issues. I mean, if the Bible says above all else, guard your heart, then we need to take note and we need to listen. And as we reflect back and look forward, this is something that we need to do. Well, how do we do it? How do we guard our heart? Well, I want to give three ways that we can guard our heart this morning. And I can tell you, these are not complicated. this is not going to be any earth-shattering message about, oh, wow, I learnt something incredible today that I've never heard before. But I can tell you this, they are probably three of the most important ways that you can guard your heart. This is not an exhaustive list, but if you do these three things, they will, for some, they will change your life. But you've got to do them diligently. You can't drop your guard with this stuff. And this isn't God stepping in for you to do this for you. When Proverbs talks about this in chapter 4, it's a message from a father to his son saying, these are the things that are important, not for me to do, but for you to do, is to guard your heart. Now, there are things in the Christian life that we receive from God. We receive our salvation from God. We've got to ask for it. But this is something God is putting forward for us to be able to do. Not most of the time, but all of the time. You know, we can't control other people's actions or reactions. And we can't control what happens in this life often. Sometimes we can. But this is something God says that we can control, is to guard our heart. So the first one is, if you're taking notes, is to keep short accounts. Keep short accounts. That's deep, isn't it? Keep short accounts. So I've just started a business, running a business in the last 18 months. And I shop a lot at Bunnings. Do quite a bit of painting, if you didn't know. And I have one of their account cards. And so when I go and buy something at Bunnings, they ask me the question, is that on account? And I say, well, it kind of is, but it isn't. I don't just scan the card and it goes through an account that I've got to pay. I scan the card and then I pay for it straight away. And so at the end of the month, I don't get a bill that says you owe this much money. And then I've got to reconcile it against the things that I get paid. I pay as I go. See, paying as you go is really, really good because it is dealt with. It is fixed on the spot. And so keeping short accounts in life is probably more important. So wherever possible in your life, deal with things quickly. Don't let things fester. Matthew 5, and I won't go into it, but talks about settling things quickly with your adversary. If you have an issue with someone, deal with it quickly. The Bible says, if you have an issue with someone, go to them and them alone. Don't let it fester. Deal with it quickly. If you owe a debt, deal with it quickly. With these things, when they're hanging over our heads, they bring pressure. They bring a weight. So God's saying, above all else, guard your heart. And this is one of the ways that he says to do it. If you need to ask for forgiveness, and maybe someone is here today and they need to ask for forgiveness, don't wait any longer. Go and deal with it now. Because otherwise, this is part of you not locking the chickens up at night. You're leaving your heart exposed, and the enemy can come in and have his way. So it's not just asking for forgiveness, though. This is the next part. This is the really difficult part. It's forgiving someone else. And I've said this from this platform, I don't know how many times, but forgiving is probably the most important thing that we can do for someone else, for someone else that impacts us more than it does them. So above all else, guard your heart. You need to forgive that person, no matter what they've done. The only thing we're asked to do in the Lord's Prayer, if you hadn't heard this before, is to forgive. That's the only thing we're asked to do when you read the Lord's Prayer. That's what our job is. So keep short accounts. Deal with things quickly. The story in the Bible of Jacob and Esau is a really interesting one. And if you know the story, I don't want to go into too much depth. Jacob is one of those characters in the Bible that I struggle with. He stole his brother's birthright. I really struggle with it. And it took Esau 20 years to not hold a grudge against his brother anymore. 20 years. Now, that's a fair thing to happen to someone, admittedly. Their birthright was stolen, and back in those days, that was a fairly significant thing. But it took him 20 years. That's a long time. That's not a short account. And I can just imagine Jacob, and you've only got to read the scripture, looking over his shoulder a lot of his life, worried about what his brother was going to do to him. Now, his brother forgave him in the end and moved on. But 20 years? That's a long time. You know what? I've seen that in church. I've seen people go from church to church to church to church. Not because they've been offended at each one, but because they were offended in the first one and they didn't deal with the issue. Now, they may not have got the response they got, but they chose to be offended. You know, if Graham was on the platform, he would say, offense is a choice, and it actually is. Now, that's easier said than done, but deal with the offense quickly. I've seen it in business. I've seen businesses break apart because they haven't kept short accounts. I've seen it in families. And there might be people sitting here today who have someone estranged in their family because there's been no forgiveness. Whether it be forgiving someone or being forgiven. And it's a sad thing. But above all else, guard your heart. Diligently. Don't be one of those people who lets the enemy in to do the damage that he wants to do. That's number one. I'm telling you, if this isn't something you're doing in your life and you change that today, it'll make a massive difference in your life. I am telling you. As hard as it is to forgive or to keep a short account, it'll make a massive difference. The second thing is to listen to what God is saying in the little things and the big things. In three ways. Number one, by reading God's word. He says obedience brings forth blessing. So by reading God's word and getting understanding, so not just reading it, but doing what it says. By what the Holy Spirit says, the small, still voice. And by what accountability says. Now, what I mean by accountability is I reckon every Christian person should have someone that they're accountable to, that can speak into their life in truth, and if you like, to keep them on the straight and narrow. And I just want to I just want to bring this picture to try and explain a little bit of this. We talk about the Word of God. I've seen this in youth as a youth pastor and had conversations around this. And the scripture talks about being unequally yoked. And don't be unequally yoked, the Bible says. And when you consider those three things that I've said, what the Holy Spirit says, what accountability says, what God's Word says, you know, once someone steps over, when you talk about guarding your heart with all diligence or above all else, why, when I see some people engage, and let's just talk about in a relationship where a boy meets a girl who's not a Christian, for instance. Once they've got to that point of engaging in a depth of relationship that is beyond a friendship, it's very hard to turn back. Now, I don't think this is any different in something like business. You know, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. So if you go into business with someone and you're a Christian and they're not, you take an enormous risk that if they see things from a worldly point of view and you see things from a Christian point of view, once you've engaged in stepping over, signing on that line, it's very hard to go back. And so what God's saying is guard your heart before you even get to the point where your heart is connected or your life is connected in that situation. And it's just so important that we have people around us, that we read the Word of God, that we listen to the Holy Spirit, that we would have that accountability. Because otherwise we're not diligently guarding our heart. We're opening up our heart for the enemy to come in and have his way. There was many years ago I had some people I knew through the church, and I'm talking when I was only a teenager. This is 40 years ago. There was a lady that was in ministry, and she was a pastor at a church, and her marriage had broken down. And like a couple of years after this, coming through the church that she was in, there was a man who was actually about the same age who had some major issues with drugs and alcohol. And she began to help that man. And she, with those around her, she was warned. She said, look, that she was told, just be careful how close you get to this person. Because once you get beyond a certain point, it's going to be difficult to go back. Well, not only did she not listen to that advice, she brought him into her home and thought she was going to be the one that was going to fix this man's life up. And so she went beyond what the Bible says. She went beyond what the Holy Spirit would have been saying to her. Well, I'm telling you, that's what the Holy Spirit would have been saying. And she went beyond what accountability said. And she took this man into her home. And I don't want to go into the details, but it went very pear-shaped. And they ended up being in a relationship far beyond what she should have ever been. And they ended up sleeping together, and you can just see what's happened from there. See, Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And so when we're guarding our heart, this diligence has to be, we have to be open to the voice of accountability, to the Holy Spirit, and to what the Word of God says. God gives us those three things. And can I tell you, this cuts both ways. And I want to tell you a story about the Sunday Christmas I just had. I began to have a conversation with my brother-in-law, and my my brother-in-law, I've never had a spiritual conversation with him. I've known the guy since I was born. And I've never really had an in-depth conversation with him. And so he opened the door and so we had a conversation. I began to talk to him, you know, about the validity of Jesus' life and the testimony of his life. And I mentioned the book, The Case of Christ. Does anyone know the book, The Case of Christ? How many people, hands up high, how many people have read that? Okay, how many people haven't heard of the book, The Case of Christ? Okay, can I encourage you to have a read of it? It's a really powerful book. It's called The Case for Christ, not The Case of Christ. So, unbeknownst to me, I'm sitting at the table having this conversation. Unbeknownst to me, my wife walks past, we're at someone else's house. I'm having this conversation, I say The Case for Christ. About a minute later, my wife walks past and she puts The Case for Christ on the table in front of me. And I'm like, what the is going on here? And so Claudia had been challenged by God to get two books of The Case for Christ and give one to to my brother-in-law's granddaughter. Now, I had no idea this was going on. And she had no idea that I was going to have this conversation on the day. But the still small voice of the Holy Spirit was working in her life. Wasn't working in mine, but it was working in hers. And it cuts both ways. And if we don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in the things where God challenges us as part of our life, we're not going to listen when that sort of stuff comes along because we're not going to hear it. And so listen to what God is saying in the little things and the big things. If God is challenging you on the little things in your life, deal with them. Number three, we're nearly done. Wonder, Steph, whether you might be able to come up and might get the team up, actually, if you can. Number three, prayer instead of worry. Now, originally here, I had prayer before worry. How many people, and I'm not talking about fighter warriors, how many warriors have we got here? Come on, be honest, how many warriors have we got here? Okay, there's a few, and there's a few not telling the truth. Because it's important that it is a replacement. And can I just grab the Bible? There's a scripture that's been going around my head that I just want to read from Matthew 6. Got a real Bible out here. Can you believe that? Got an actual physical Bible. Matthew, Mark. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And you're thinking, how has worry got to deal with guarding your heart? Well, let me show you another scripture. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here we go. Here it is. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Who of you, by worrying, could add a single day to your life? This is really clear what it gives you. Prayer and supplication. Instead of worry. Like I said to you, on this last Sunday of 2025, this is not an exhaustive list. But if you put these three things in place in your life, it will put some good guardrails around your heart. And our heart with Christ and our heart with our Heavenly Father is the most important thing that we can do with our relationship with God. I just want to reflect back again what Andy said. In thinking about our goals for change or achievement this coming year, let's first ensure the higher goal is in place, to simply grow closer to Jesus, that we would find our security in what he did on the cross for us. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Just love everyone to close their eyes. Father, we just want to thank you for the year that's gone, even if it's been hard. But Lord, the most important thing is our relationship with you. So Lord, help us to remember the things that make us vulnerable, and help us to put in place the good things that you've asked us to do, that help us to have an amazing life with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen and empower each and every person today, as they sit here or as they're watching online or even listening later. Even if they pick one of those things to do or to change in their life, help us to guard our hearts, Lord, because our relationship with you is the most important thing. That we would shine your light to others and they would see you flowing out of us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.